Well, it's been a privilege to have the Smiths with us, and I know that each time he's opened the Word of God, you've been blessed and challenged. And so I trust that tonight you'll open your hearts, open your Bibles, and allow God to use His Word as Brother Smith opens it for us. So come ahead, please, Brother Smith.
Thank you, Pastor.
It is good to be here again tonight. And as many of you had mentioned, praying for me and praying for my wife for cancer. And as Pastor announced that, it reminded me, you know, it's cancer is something that you never think that's going to affect you, but it does sometimes. And it's a journey that I probably would not have chosen, but God allowed me to go through it. And, you know, God's been faithful every step of the way. And I just want to thank you for praying for us. It's such a comfort to have people praying for you all over the world. And thank you. I really appreciate it. As Pastor mentioned, pencils back there. Take one. Pray for us. We can use all the prayer that we can get. And then some. Take your Bibles. Let's go to Luke chapter 19 tonight. Luke chapter 19. I just want to say how much that I have been encouraged today by your music. You've done a great job. And you're singing everything. It's been encouragement to me, you know. Many times you go to a different church to encourage them, but you have encouraged me. I want to thank you for that. George Bolt worked faithfully for many years at the front desk in a small hotel. One day, an elderly couple came into the lobby and asked for a place to stay. Every room in the hotel and every hotel in the town was occupied, realizing that the elderly couple had nowhere to sleep. Bolt offered them his own room. Although they were reluctant to accept his offer, they eventually did so because George insisted. The next morning when the couple was leaving, the elderly man said to George, "You're the kind of man who should be managing the best hotel in the country. Someday, I'm going to build that hotel and let you manage it." Several years later, Bolt received a letter in the mail. It contained a round-trip ticket and a note from the man to whom he had given his room many years before. The man invited George to visit him in New York City. When Bolt arrived in New York, the gentleman took him to downtown corner where a huge building stood. "George, this is the hotel I built up for you to manage." Bolt stared in amazement at this glorious structure. The hotel was the Waldorf Astoria. The elderly man was William Waldorf Astor, one of the wealthiest men in the country. Bolt's faithfulness in managing a small hotel had prepared him to manage one of the most magnificent hotels the country has ever seen. Then in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, the Bible says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is also unjust in much." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we ask as we look into your word tonight, Lord, to help us realize the responsibility that you have given to us as Christians. To whom much is given, much is required. Lord, you have given us much. You were willing to give your life for us. Lord, help us to be willing to live for you. Lord, we thank you for your word, the truths that are in it. Lord, help us to apply these truths to our lives, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Luke chapter 19, we're going to begin in verse 12. Luke 19, verse 12. He said, "Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He called 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, 'Occupy till I come.' But his citizens hated him and sent a messenger after him, saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.' And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, 'Lord, thy pound gained thee 10 pounds.' And he said unto him, 'Well thou good servant. Because thou hast been faithful in a very little, thou hast authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is the pound which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up where thou layest not down, and reapest where thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore thou gavest not thou my money to the bank, that at my coming I might require thine own from with usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him that 1 pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he shall be taken away from him. Jesus often uses parables to explain things in Scripture. And here, we're going to look at what I feel that Jesus is asking us to do. Jesus is asking us to occupy till I come. We know the Lord's going to return, but I believe he's asking us to occupy till I come. And I want you to think about, what are you occupying? What have you been given charge of in your life? Who is doing the asking here? We realize it's the Master or the Lord. Who is to occupy? We saw it was his servants, or it's us as Christians. He called his 10 servants. It doesn't say he called 10 of his servants. The way it's worded, we would think that it was all of his servants he's called. And I believe that command is given to every one of us as Christians. It's not an option, well, just, you know, you can do it and you don't have to do it. It's given to all of us. We are to occupy till he comes. In Matthew chapter 28, in verse 19, he gave us as Christians the instructions, the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world. It's not an option. It's a command. We're to go. First of all, we're to occupy, which also means to carry on business. Secondly, we're to multiply. It's expected his servants to bring in more than what they were given. Can you think about what you have been given as a Christian? I want you to think about your salvation alone. What is that worth? What's the value of your salvation? It cost us nothing. But yet it cost Jesus everything. I hope we honestly don't take it for granted what we've been given. What is our Lord's business? In Matthew 10:28, even as the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. He came not for himself, but for us. He came for others. We know Jesus healed many sick, many lame. He cast out demons, even raised some from the dead. But you know what? He reached out to others. My wife has sung a song from time to time. How can you reach a world that you do not touch? And it's very true. People all over the world don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. They want you to touch their life, to have an impact on their life. See, they have no hope. We have hope as Christians. They don't have that. They need to see us share that hope with them. Jesus touched the world because he came to minister. He came to provide salvation for every one of us. The Bible says, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me in the world, even so send them into the world. That is our commission. That is our command. We are to go. We are to give the gospel to those that we meet. It's not a choice, folks, honest. I'm not trying to drive something down your throat. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. It's our responsibility to do that.
Amen.
Pastor has given everyone a tool to use. And it's a very simple tool. But it will work. First, we looked at occupy. Then we're to multiply. To carry on his business. To multiply his investment. Secondly, what is the master's business? And next, what are we doing with what we have? Are we hiding it? How many remember the song, This Little Light of Mine? You know, we used to sing that as kids, and my wife and I still sing it with our grandkids, and they'll be prancing around the house, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine. And we think it's, you know, childish, but really, that ought to be our life. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Why? Because of what Jesus has done. What he was willing to do for us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The next part of that verse says, we won't let Satan, you know. We're not going to hide it under a bushel, and we're not going to let Satan blow it out. Be willing to share your testimony of what God has done for you. Next, we see that sometimes we hide that light. Our light of salvation, our money, our talents, our children. Why would we do these things? Why would we hide those from the world? I think many times it's because of fear. And honestly, the only, in Scripture, the only one we're to fear is God. But many times we fear man. The fear of man bringeth a snare to the soul, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. That's a promise from God. The servant in our Scripture hid his treasure in a napkin. If we're not hiding it, maybe we're hoarding it. Maybe we're trying to keep it just to ourselves. I don't believe that's what God intended for us at all. It was freely given. Why not freely give it? God wants to use every one of us. As I mentioned before, it cost us nothing, but it cost him everything. Never lose the excitement that you once had about your salvation. Because you realized at that time what you were saved from. A penalty that you could not pay yourself. Jesus paid it for you. A sin debt that you could not cover, but Jesus did. He willingly gave himself to pay our sin debt. A story that I'm going to read. I got off at George Street Born and raised in England, Frank Jenner joined the Royal Navy, then later the United States Navy, and finally the Royal Australian Navy. In 1937, shortly after he got out of the Navy, Jenner encountered a group of men who had been engaging in open-air preaching and was converted to Christianity. For 28 years, from his initial conversation with the debilitating from Parkinson's disease, Jenner engaged in personal evangelism, probably speaking with more than 100,000 people. His signature approach to evangelism was to speak to people on George Street in Sydney. He would simply hand them a tract as they got off the subway and ask a question. If you died within 24 hours, where would you be in eternity? Heaven or hell? Simple, right? In 1952, the Reverend Francis Dixon of Lounsdale Baptist Church in England began hearing of several testimonies from people who became Christians after Jenner accosted them on George Street in Sydney. Thousands of people testified of coming to Christ as a result of Jenner's witness. The following year, Dixon met with Jenner in Australia and told him about the people that he had met who became Christians as a result of his evangelism efforts. And Jenner, well up in years, cried because he had not previously known of not even one person who had become a Christian. Yet he remained faithful. He occupied all those years. Surely someday Jenner will hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Amen.
We think about that and say, wow. Simple, isn't it? Simple question. Where will you spend eternity? Heaven or hell? For 28 years he did this day after day after day. And yet, not hearing of ever one individual getting saved, but continued to do it day after day, month after month, year after year, remaining faithful, handing out a simple tract. When are we supposed to occupy? Till he comes. In other words, there's really not a time to quit. We're to continue until we really take our last breath. Where are we to occupy? Wherever we are. Wherever we are. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world." Earth, sorry. It starts in Jerusalem. In other words, starts right here. Right where we are. That's who we're to reach. You know, you'll reach people that I'll never meet. We're here just for a few days. God's placed you here for a purpose, for a reason. As I was preparing this message, I was convicted of my neighbors in our neighborhood. God placed me there for a purpose, for a reason. And that's to share the light with them. The gift that God's given to me, I'm to share with them. Then we're to go around the world, praying, giving, or possibly going ourselves. What are we doing to occupy, to multiply what the Master has given us? We've seen the who, the what, the when, and the where. Now let's see the why. Why do we occupy till he comes? Because we're commanded to. Secondly, we're compelled to. We're obligated, we're duty bound. Why? Because of the love of others. Jesus saw the multitude and had compassion on them. Every time that Susan and I have gone on a trip, it just broadens your vision of the need of salvation all over the world. Many times as I'm flying, I'll look out the plane and it's hard to really pick out anything down below. But you know what? God cares about every one of us. And it really grips my heart when I think about the vastness of this earth. And yet God cares for me. God cares for you. This morning I encourage you to take a missions trip with us, because I promise you it will change your vision of the world. Next, we're to do it because of the love of Christ. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. But that he died for all, then that they which live should not live henceforth unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Honestly, folks, do we care? It's what it really comes down to. Do we care? See, we know that we're saved. We know that because of our salvation, we have a home in heaven. But do we care about our neighbor who maybe does not know about Christ? Maybe he's never heard. Oftentimes, we've helped in Vacation Bible School, and each year we've noticed that the boys and girls that come know less and less about church, about God, about Jesus. It's not taught today. We need to be concerned about the world. This man in this passage obviously did not care about his master's money that he was given. He did not share his master's interest in the kingdom. Do you want God's kingdom to grow? He didn't trust his master's intentions. Do we trust God to govern fairly? His only concern was for himself. Are we concerned for the welfare of others as much as we are for ourselves? And he did nothing productive with what the master had entrusted him with. Are we willing to faithfully use what God's entrusted us with? There's another story in Luke chapter 12 about a man who was very successful on the earth. But just before that, Jesus tells and reminds us in verse 15, the Bible says, "Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." He spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man, brought forth plentiful. He thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there where I bestow all the fruits of my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself, and is not rich toward God." I just want to challenge us tonight. I mentioned it this morning that we came in with nothing, we're going to go out with nothing, just as this man here in Scripture we just read about. He wanted to tear down everything that he had and build greater, to store it up for a rainy day, someday, a retirement. But Scripture called him a fool because he wasn't concerned about anything but himself. Let me ask you tonight, are your earthly barns full and your heavenly coffers empty? 95% of all Christians have never won one soul to Christ. 80% of all Christians do not consistently witness for Christ. Less than 2% are involved in the ministry of evangelism. 71% do not give towards the financing of the Great Commission. That's pretty sobering when you think about it. I'm not saying that that's what's here. This is the statistics that I was given. The master in this passage simply wanted his servant to occupy, to run his business until he returns. You know what? God's asked us to do the same thing. I'm afraid often we have what I call tunnel vision. He used to have a neighbor, his name was Claire Eckhart. And he had a team of horses, and Claire worked with horses all the time, but this one horse, he couldn't break him. He had a habit of constantly jerking his head back and forth as he was on the buggy. And Claire worked for hours and hours and could not get this horse to stop doing that, because every time he did, the buggy went exactly the same way. And he went to another neighbor, Chuck Beadle, and he said, "Chuck, can you help me with this horse? Because I can't figure out why this horse won't stop this jerking habit." And Chuck got on the buggy with him, and they began to go down the road, and immediately Chuck noticed what the horse was doing. And he said, "Stop, just a second, let me check something out." And Chuck got off, grabbed a hold of the horse, pulled his head down, and the horse had blinders on, but they had rusted into a position where the horse could see just what was straight ahead of him. See, the blinders are supposed to be open so the horse can see everything that's going on around him. So that's why the horse was constantly doing that back and forth, because it couldn't see anything but what was right in front of his face. And I think many times as Christians, that's all we see, is just what's right in front of us. We don't see the whole world as God sees it. God has a vision for the whole world. And I think many times we stay focused just on what's right here in front of us. We forget the Lord says, "Go ye into all the world." It doesn't stop just in Jerusalem. The Bible says it goes into Samaria and continues on and continues on and continues on. Where are we at tonight? Do we care? Are we concerned about the world? Do we have a vision for the world? Will you occupy? Will you multiply for the Lord? Or are we hiding and hoarding? The Bible says to occupy till He comes. Don't quit. Don't quit. You'll have regrets if you do. We have one opportunity. Many times we look at this life and we think, "Oh, we have such a long time." But perspective, it's short. Eternity is forever. But this lifetime is short. Don't waste your time. Occupy till He comes. And tonight I want to challenge you to have a world vision, not a tunnel vision. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we do thank You for Your Word. Thank You for, Lord, how You have given us illustration, parable after parable, of individuals who some did very well and some others just were concerned about themselves. Lord, help us to have a vision for the world. Help us to be concerned about our Samaria and our Jerusalem, but Lord, help us to look to the world, to have a world vision of people that need to know Christ. And Lord, we ask that You'd speak to hearts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Their heads bowed and eyes closed.